A Dharma Conversation with Linda Modaro from Santa Monica and Sati Sangha, and Anna Markey from South Australia, the Coast and City Sangha, and Nellie Kaufer from Pine Street Sangha in Portland, Oregon. So I'll just lead off and we'll see who picks it up. I think being able to settle in meditation is necessary. If one is just feeling too restless, too kind of nudgy, too whatever, it just gets to be too hard to stay and meditate. That being said, most of the instructions in meditation are about how to settle. But our orientation is a little different about settling. And they're going to talk more to it, but just my first thought is our orientation is let's have a conversation about the ways that you did settle. Because when people aren't being told to settle, they usually do settle somehow or other. And so we tend to have a conversation about how it is that you settled in this, at least this time in meditation, or during this 5 minutes of meditation.
Well, part of it for me, I think why I really gravitated towards a receptive approach to meditation where we can kind of do anything to start off is because it takes me some time to settle. And it actually, I can't do something right away. It's a personality type, it's kind of my habit that I need to kind of check in with myself, see how I'm feeling, feel safe in the environment. And also, because we're so languaged and conversational, I often have a lot of conversations in my head when I sit down. And if I just try to get rid of them right away, often it creates more tension for me. So letting those kind of go on and kind of play out, and that has become a way that I settle.
And I was thinking, as you're introducing it, Nellie, that, I guess traditionally my first practice was Tibetan practice, where I was given a whole kind of lot of verses, which I could probably still come up with, to settle me. And then I moved into insight meditation, where it was, breath, just kind of straight away breath. And I remember, even before I found this approach, I was a kind of a teacher's insight circle, and someone said, just offhand said, there's about 30% of people who just aren't at peace with their breath, or some such statement. So 30%? I thought, that's me. Because I always used to kind of struggle, I'd watch and think, oh, everybody else is doing it except me. And just that off-the-cuff statement, which afterwards I kind of chased him up on, how do you know it's 30%? But just that sense that, there are a lot of people that couldn't settle with their breath. And there were 30% of them, and I could have been one of those people. And I can actually remember, I can even remember the seat where I was. In the meditation straight after he said that, I didn't worry about my breath. And, it was a release for me. And I can remember afterwards, we didn't talk about our meditations in those groups, but I just realized that since I'd been released from thinking I had to use the breath, it was a really settled meditation. So it was like being given permission to use something that I thought I had to use. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, you've raised a really important point, which is a bit strong feature of my meditation, and I bet other people's in this room's, which is that being told, however directly or around, what's the word, not directly, but kind of still be very there, that you need to do it a particular way, whether it's on the breath or whatever, or even in our orientation about being, that you must write down your meditations, whatever it is that you think you must do, creates a certain tension and many times makes it harder to do that very thing.
Yeah.
It sets up something.
although it can be a contradiction, because we don't want to be told what to do, and yet we're looking to be told what to do because we want to do it right. Yeah. So there's the tension inherent. I mean, because sometimes I've done what I've been told, and then I've been super pissed off and enraged because I didn't follow something that I wanted to listen to. It overrode my voice. So we're kind of playing with that, aren't we? That line of listening to somebody else and their experience and listening to ourselves, and what are we going to pay attention to?
Yes.
And we want to be told what to do because it's too confusing. I mean, it's just we need some assistance sometimes.
Yeah, it's valid.
And then it was interesting that after going through a kind of, you know, not breath period, that, you know, now often the breath comes back and I have a different relationship with it. That often I do sit down and my breath's there, and it's like greeting an old friend, whereas before it was kind of a taskmaster. whereas now it's like, oh, my breath. So, yeah, it's interesting how I've been given that permission or that tension taken out of it.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this. You know, I changed, I don't know how many of you read it or noticed it, but I changed the sort of banner under on the website under Pine Street Sangha to six words that I felt like summed up the practice. And I've been talking about that on Sundays when I've been teaching. But the first two are befriending meditation. And I feel like that's like an old, it becomes like an old friend rather than a taskmaster. I mean, that's a great description of the direction we're hoping to teach you in, that meditation becomes a friend rather than a taskmaster, the whole thing sort of becomes, you know, and we're so used to having taskmasters. And then settling can become a taskmaster, and oh my God, that's very unsettling.
And, you know, around the settling thing too, you know, because then I kind of went through a period of, you know, being a little bit rebellious, you know, of thinking, well, I don't have to settle. And somehow kind of being at peace with being unsettled was also in there, of having that whole possibility opened up of the fact that being unsettled was something I needed to come to terms with too, because there are a lot of times in my daily life I was unsettled or unfocused or kind of speedy or whatever. So in a way, allowing that in my meditation, and that could only happen when I knew very well that even would go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to stay with unsettledness when you think, you know, I'm going to sit here for 45 minutes in this state, you know. So in a way, you have to have that trust that settledness will come, and that took a while too.
Well, I think that's another point of that. The trust comes from our doing it, from our experimentation with it, that somebody else may trust the practice that they're teaching us, but we really do have to be the ones to try it. And so there's risk involved, you know, to sit with a mind state that we really don't like and want to be out of, and somebody gives us permission to sit there with it. And it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah.
And following up on what you said a moment ago, you know, there sometimes you know you are just unsettled. That could be the description of the first truth or task. Life is unsettling.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So to really know that, to be, if we try to make ourselves settle all the time, well, we can't. That's the first thing. So that's a big problem, that we can't. But then second of all, and you can debate me about that, but I can't anyway. I don't know, maybe some people can. But then, you know, we don't really kind of get to see this quality of our existence, that it is often quite unsettling.
And to me, that's what we're doing. Constantly, over and over again, the Four Noble Truths. Constantly, it's the, you know, the dukkha, the cause of dukkha, the fact that it goes away, and the kind of platform on which that happens. It's like being unsettled is unsettling. There's dukkha, there's suffering, or whatever word you use, and that's what you're going with. You're not getting rid of it, you're going with it. and just being there with it and being deeply with it, you start to see the causes, and then it starts to change, etc., etc. So in a way, starting with unsettledness is starting with the first, like you say, the first.
And Anna's said many times, unless I picked her up at the airport on Thursday at noon, so we've been at this that long. This round, we, by the way, I met Anna in 2009 in Australia, so we've been at it on Skype ever since. So not all the time, once a month or so.
Pretty much.
I totally forgot what I was going to say now. There we have it.
Is around.
I just got it. I was going somewhere else.
Okay.
You've been saying no. I got it. Don't lose it. Okay. So what I was saying is that she's been talking many times in these last few days about, but then you don't want to go too far. There's a point at which it's too much, that it's just too hard. You can't get. Let's come back to settled as a simple example. You can't get settled in meditation, and then we say it's okay. You can get up and go in the other room. You don't want to. You know, too much is too much. And then, so what Anna's can represent you has been talking about as teachers, how do we support that and students in really getting that, you know, too much is too much.
Yeah.
Would that be a good summary of what you've been
supposed
to say?
You know, so often people say, it's all very well for you to say, you know, you will eventually settle, but I won't. I'll sit here for the whole 30 minutes, you know, planning and ruminating and going over what. So, you know, there's always that line of where you make that choice. You know, your breath can be there as a friend, a mantra can be there as a friend, the sense of your body can be there as a place to go back to. There is always that choice. And when it gets too much, you know, you've got a whole lot of options around how to settle. You know, there are tried and true ways for you, for everyone, I find it's different, to settle. So you've always got that option.
Say one more thing.
Okay, and then we'll sit. Then we'll sit and see if we settle.
And see if we settle.
How we settle.
We'll hear about it afterwards. I think there's something about having the practice be put back on us that has allowed a kind of depth to come out in the people that I've worked with and in myself of really feeling like I own my practice, and that I'm not just kind of staying up here on the surface of reading a book and, you know, occasionally doing something. It's not like I have a daily practice where the Dharma's on my mind every moment and I'm really serious about everything, but there's a depth that develops from letting yourself go to these places. And I've been craving that all of my life. And that was something I think that got satisfied when I met this practice. And, you know, us talking about how to settle is really one arm of the whole deal. But it puts the depth right back into the practice. And I've just been so appreciative of that and our conversations.
I agree. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.